This meeting is now being recorded.
If we could have a roll call and start the...
My apologies, Alan. Thank you. For the leadership call taking place today on September 25, 2017, we have joining us Alan Greenberg, Susan Calagucci, and from ICANN organization, we have Alice Jansen, Jean-Baptiste, I've never said your last name, Jean-Baptiste, Durole, Karen Mulberry, Lisa Pfeiffer, Nagara Frozinia, and myself, Brenda Brewer. And this call is being recorded. Please state your name before speaking for the transcript. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else who has anything to add to AOB for this call? Not hearing anything, I'll assume the agenda is accepted. And the first item is terms of reference, and I'll turn it over to Jean-Baptiste, I assume. I'm not quite sure what the intent was here, other than to perhaps review what sections we still haven't done yet.
Hi, Alan. So Jean-Baptiste for the record. Yes, it's an opportunity for us to list here all the different open items that still need to be prepared in terms of reference. And also, I don't know if you had time to review those, but we have indicated as well, so for example, for the first item, mission and scope, we have shared earlier a document to pull scope issues where we were requesting some feedback on the format, and at the same time we saw that you have shared today a new document, which could help to fill in the document that we prepared. And also there is another mention on the item on the three deliverables and time frames, where we mentioned that we have updated the work plan that was presented to you on a past leadership call, and this work plan we won't be presenting during a plenary meeting, but we'll do during the face-to-face meeting. But in any case, we invite you for any edits or comments via email prior to the face-to-face meeting on this. Other than that, as you mentioned, we are listing here all the different open action items that are still to be reviewed and prepared by the review team.
Okay. I'm going to contact Katrina in terms of the CCNSO. We are not nowhere near finished scope, I'm sad to say, but I think we know where it's going. So I think I have to need to find out from Katrina exactly what are the issues under which they will or will not participate. I'm starting to feel that if they come in too late, then the value that they add is not nearly as great as it could be. And I'll see if she has a feeling on that. Other than that, I'm a little bit worried about these sections because nobody on the review team is sort of putting up their hand to volunteer to draft anything. And I'm not putting up my hand either. So to what extent on the sections that are missing do we have boilerplate that we just need to approve, and to what extent do we have real text that we have to write other than scope?
Lisa, go ahead.
Thanks. This is Lisa Pfeiffer for the transcript. Alan, there is actually an example of reporting requirements in the reporting section. The team would really just need to look at it, determine whether it wants to accept those reporting requirements as a model for its own or whether it would need to modify those. Maybe someone on the leadership team could take the helm for that, just checking it out and seeing if there are any proposed edits or it can be accepted as is.
Okay, and go ahead.
I was just going to say the only other gap is in additional definitions, and there's a fairly long list of definitions already present, and it's possible, I think, that there might be some additional definitions added after the face-to-face, or, you know, as a result of the face-to-face, to reflect some items that are in scope. But other than that, placeholders that, you know, basically indicate where definitions can be added would be removed if there are no additional definitions identified.
Okay, I'll take it as a to-do sometime, squeeze in before I get on a plane to look at it and see if there's anything that I want to draft or want to try to assign volunteers to, so to speak. Susan, to the extent you have any bandwidth and can do us a parallel pass, that would be appreciated.
Yeah, this is Susan. I put in the chat that I can review the reporting section before Saturday. I'll hopefully get something out before, or get some comments out before we all head Brussels.
Okay. I'm not as worried about the sections that have something, and if it's not perfect, well, to be quite blunt, sue me. I am worried about the sections where clear work has to be done if no one is being identified to do it. It doesn't sound like we're in too bad shape from what Lisa said, but I guess another set of eyes will help make sure that is the case. Next item, what? Face-to-face meeting agenda. I don't think there's anything else to be said on terms of reference right now, unless I'm missing something.
Correct. So on the face meeting agenda, we have shared a draft agenda, which I'm going to put on screen now. Okay, so on this face-to-face meeting draft agenda, so we have reported some general information about meeting location, also information for observers if they would like to attend in person or remotely. So this information is also available on our wiki. There are also information about or expected standards of behavior. And below this logistic information, you can find more details about day one and day two. So starting, so each day we start with a breakfast served on the meeting location from 8:30 to 9. So what we have here for the first day would be welcome and opening remarks from Teresa Swinart for 10 minutes, followed by a statement of interest updates, local and administrative items from 9 to 10 to 9:20. Specific reviews and process flows presented by Alice, followed by an introduction to the work plan, which I mentioned earlier, and timeline templates. After that, there would be a break from 10:15 to 10:30. And then, so all throughout the day, there would be different working sessions intended to review, finalize objectives in the scope section, and also later on in the day to review and finalize the terms of reference. So lunch would be served from 12 to 12:45. There would be another break at 3:15 and after 3. And at the end of day one, there would be a review of the following day's agenda and closing remarks from the review team leadership. And so the first day would be followed by a review team dinner, including some team building exercises. So reservation has been made at a restaurant really close by to ICANN offices and to your hotel. On day two, so as I mentioned earlier, there would be a breakfast served as well from 8:30 to 9. There would be you would be starting the debrief and reviewing the day two objectives. There would be a presentation on meeting costs. So this is something that you had asked earlier, and this would be followed by the Who is One implementation briefings for recommendations 1, 2, 3, 6, 7, 9, 15, and 16.
All of that in 30 minutes?
No. So if I scroll down, no, that would be short. So that would be continued after the break. And after lunch, so there would be a work plan and timeline working session. And after the afternoon break, that would be an occasion to finalize and formally adopt the terms of reference, including the scope and objectives of the review. The two last sections are about confirming the review team leadership. So depending on the scope, confirm or like the review team leadership, confirm also the plenary call of schedule after the face-to-face meeting, and identify sub-team call needs. And then the wrap-up review of the different action items and decisions reached that were identified during the 2 days of the face-to-face meeting, determined response to the board request, the meeting communicate, and finally a notification to the CCNSO and data code, what you have mentioned earlier about liaising with Katrina. And finally, AOB and closing remarks from the meeting leadership.
The only comment that comes to mind right now is I would think that we need a review team leadership meeting. The breakfast is served at the ICANN office. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. I would suggest that the review team leadership probably on both days wants to meet. Certainly on the first day, we have a choice depending on when people are available, either the night before or the morning. Since Catherine is commuting, it may be more practical for her to do it in the morning. But one way or another, I think we need some time to review the agenda, do any last-minute changes if necessary, and just make sure all of our we're all on the same the same understanding of what's going to be proceeding, and probably we'll need a checkpoint after the first day. We could either do it at the end of the day or beginning of the second day. I don't much care which way we go, but I think we want an opportunity to meet as a group. And that's certainly the three leaders plus whatever staff wants to participate in it. I don't think we need everyone. Susan, any thoughts on that? We have two Susans. Is one of them really here?
Sorry. I was on mute, as always. That's a good idea. I would say just add it. You know, we meet for breakfast at 8 and just go over anything we need to go over.
How far away is the office?
The office from the hotel is about 5 minutes walking.
Okay, so probably closer to 7:30, but 7:30 to 7:45. It's probably politically correct for us to show up for at least part of the breakfast with other people and not just walk in at 5 to 9.
Well, I thought breakfast was at 8:30 is why.
Well, yes, but if we only meet at 8, are you saying meet at the office at 8?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I was thinking meet at the hotel. Yeah, meet at the office.
Or we could do that. But,
No. That's fine. Meet at the office at 8 would be fine.
So, essentially, we'd have to leave at 7:45 probably.
Yeah.
There, but. Which is fine. But that way Catherine isn't going to places if she needs to meet again.
Yeah, that sounds fine. Let's presume the three of us plus whoever on staff wishes to be there with me. Well, I guess we at least need one or two. We'll meet at about 8 o'clock at the office. I assume there'll be a cubby hole we can do that in somewhere.
Yes, we can look into that. There's no problem with that. And that would be on both days, Alan, correct?
I think so.
Okay.
If we see absolutely no reason to do it on the second day, we can always cancel. But
of course.
Yeah, my experience with these things says there's probably something to talk about. All right. What is our next item? Other than that, I think it looks fine. There's a reasonable amount of time to do scope and assignment of responsibilities. Well, there's hopefully there'll be enough time. If it isn't, I don't think we can predict it at this point. So I think the schedule looks okay as it is, and I'm willing to go ahead with it.
Okay, so it can be shared on the plenary call.
I think so. Certainly, we have this plenary meeting to make changes if anyone identifies anything that's really startling that they think is wrong with it. But there's no reason not to send it out.
Perfect. Thank you, Alan, for confirming. Okay, moving on to the next item on the agenda, which is ICANN 60. So for the informal meeting, so the doodle poll deadline was last Friday COB, and we have received only four answers. And based on those four answers, the meeting would take place on Tuesday, 31st October at lunchtime.
Okay. Did Gisela answer for me, or was I one of the no-shows?
No, we based the timing based on your availability.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here there are two possibilities. Either we base ourselves on the four answers, or we give a bit more time to those who have not replied.
I'm sorry. I didn't understand that.
So considering there are only four answers,
right?
Do you wish to provide a bit more time to those who have not?
Sorry. I was thinking of leadership. No, if it's only four, then we really need to. I assume there's not much difference in scheduling it, if we say it has to be done by Thursday or by the end of this week. So let us reinforce it. Send out a reminder. And
okay.
And we'll also make sure we mention it at the plenary meeting on Thursday, and then give people another day or so.
Okay.
If they don't show up, they don't show up. Chances are half the people who don't fill it out will be available anyway. Not that many people have scheduled where all of their lunches are booked.
Sounds good. And on that, so another thing that we wanted to mention is that so if in case it's a lunch, we can use a pop-up room, and those are free of charge. Nevertheless, if catering is needed, this still needs to be taken out of the travel budget. Otherwise, there is always the possibility, if the Revity doesn't want to use this budget, to just ask Revity members to bring their own food. This is up to the
bringing their own food is problematic because we really don't know what the arrangements are like in the convention center. I've been told there's lots of places all around, but the reality when you get there is often that it's not practical to have 10 people lining up and then getting back to a room. You refer to pop-up rooms. I'm not familiar with that expression. Can someone tell me what a pop-up room is?
I may ask for, a clear definition. I think those are exactly like the type of rooms that we had for previous meeting.
Okay, so the ad hoc meeting rooms.
I think so. If that's not correct, please, Alice or Lisa, please correct me.
So essentially, pop-up meetings are meetings that are not on the schedule, meaning that they were not submitted within the schedule deadline. So So essentially, there's a list of the available meeting rooms that are available in our staff calendar, and we can schedule some time based on that. But it's not an official meeting, and it's not. That means essentially that we could not have catering if it's a pop-up session. So we would need to know it well in advance to make the arrangement. That makes sense.
I'm sorry, what you said, if it's a pop-up room, we cannot do catering?
That's correct. We need to know well in advance. If there's catering, it can't be a pop-up meeting. It needs to be in the scheduling system.
And are you telling me it's too late to get it in the scheduling session system for a lunch meeting at this point?
I think there's still time, but we need to know as soon as possible. So if we can identify a time, block a time on the plenary call this week, that would be perfect.
Yeah, I would think we should be able to by the end of this week. And I think if we're going to tell people to get their own lunch and bring it, there's just not enough time left at that point. And one questions whether it's even worth having if we're going to do that, because people will just wander in maybe. So I would presume that we find a room where we can have catering. It doesn't have to be a fancy. I'm not looking for a hot buffet lunch. Just cold cuts and the kind of things you can make sandwiches with is fine, I think. I personally prefer that to pre-made sandwiches where they never have the combination that people want. So, Susan, that sound reasonable? Fine with me, she says. All right. What is the next item on our agenda?
Next item on our agenda is the suggested plenary meeting agenda. So what we have on this agenda is a welcome roll call, then the implementation briefings on WHO's recommendations, 4, 12, 13, and 14. And we'll be sharing the slides on these shortly. Then there would be discussion on scope, the face-to-face meeting agenda that we reviewed earlier, and a reminder about the ICANN 16 formal meeting, and NAOs.
Sounds good.
Okay. Lisa, go ahead.
Thank you. Lisa Pfeiffer for the transcript. Alan and Susan, I'm wondering if it might be useful to remind the review team members that since there have been implementation briefings our last plenary, and as well as this plenary call, that everyone should have listened to those recordings if they missed those plenary calls in advance of our face-to-face, since that'll be the substance on which we move ahead.
I think that's a good idea, and I was going to add that under the face-to-face discussion, face-to-face agenda, I think we want a brief session part on. I haven't looked at what's in the slides already of expectations, and one of the expectations is that we go out of that meeting with people essentially having work assignments. Now we know that every one of the recommendations, the implementation, has to be reviewed by one or more people on our group. And we know the other scope items, one or more people have to take responsibilities for them. And they need to go into the face-to-face meeting knowing that we're coming out of it where people actually have put their hand up and volunteered to do things. So I think they need to be thinking about that ahead of time. And that does, among other things, mean doing the homework. Before we complete this meeting, I realize we didn't actually talk about scope in this meeting, and I would like to talk about it. I thought we were going to actually talk about it under terms of reference, and we skipped over it. So before we get to AOB on this meeting, I would like to talk about scope if we're finished the review of the plenary meeting agenda.
Yes, and do you need your document to be projected?
We don't really need it. Well, it may help. I'm not sure we need to be projected. Let me talk my way through it a little bit, though. What I did is took the table we had before and tried to lay out where we are. And, you know, I left the last meeting, I think I actually said it, that I thought we were in pretty good shape. I'm not as comfortable at this point as I was at that point. And the reason I'm not as comfortable is the things we haven't resolved. All, you know, it's fine to say we've assigned someone a writing assignment, but I think we're pretty far from actually coming to closure on some of these kind of things. Moreover, on a few of them, ones that we have already agreed to, I'm wondering if indeed we made the right decision. You know, for instance, we put in the issue of IDNs, and I guess before I have a new scope item on IDNs, I want to know how this is different from what the review team one did, because they had three recommendations on IDN and local languages, and how is they already identified a whole bunch of things, including translation, transliteration, that had to be done to fix Whois, so to speak. That work has gotten done and it's been fed as input into the PDP. I'm not sure what else there is. The same is true for the, you know, is the current protocol satisfactory? Well, we know it isn't, partly because of language issues, and that's now part of the next PDP. If we're going to say something, the question is, do we really believe as a review team that we are going to make recommendations that the current Whois protocol be changed prior to something new being done? Now, I understand GDPR may force some issues on us, but that's a separate discussion. So I want to make sure that anything that we put in scope we can deliver on, and we can deliver something reasonable, and I'm not sure in some of these that's the case. And on the issues to be determined, for each of them, I also ask a number of questions. You know, so for the legitimate uses of law enforcement, does it satisfy the needs of legitimate needs of law enforcement? How in blazes do we define what the legitimate needs of law enforcement are? I mean, these were easy words to write in the bylaws, but I don't have a clue what that means. If we could define what the legitimate uses are, we can probably then figure out a way to assess it. But I don't know. I don't know how to proceed on that. And I think we need some clarity. And I'm worried that some of these issues, there are some really thorny questions there that I'm not sure I see an answer to. Am I worrying too much, or is there a real issue here? I seem to have lost my Adobe Connect, so I'm running blind. Please go ahead, Susan.
Okay, and Lisa has her hand up. So, Lisa, did you want to go first?
Go ahead, Susan.
Sorry.
Okay. No problem. So, did you edit the document that staff sent around on scope? I may have missed an email.
No. I wrote this earlier last week before I saw the new one, but to a large extent, my document is addressing, it worked out serendipitously, it's addressing those little places where you have square brackets or something saying to be filled in. The parts you sidestep to a large extent are the parts I'm asking the questions of, although I did reopen one or two relatively minor ones. So I don't think there's a conflict between the two. But how we get to the point where we have a final document, I'm not at all sure of.
So I guess I'm not as concerned with being able to get through this. I read the staff document this morning and have some input, which I'll send out to the leadership team. But I think, you know, that's one thing we're going to do this coming meeting, face-to-face meeting. So I can't guarantee we'll agree on everything. But I think there's a way to handle some of your concerns, you know, in the determining the effectiveness for law enforcement and those type of things. I think we could come up with a plan for that. And part of that is just reviewing. I mean, it could be a very short review because I think everybody knows the topic pretty well. But, you know, I think we just work through it with the whole review team.
Yeah, no, that's the only way we can go forward. But I guess I'm worried about making commitments in the scope document that we will not be able to deliver on. And I think we have to be somewhat pragmatic about that.
I agree with that. And I think Chris Sustain was harping on that in one of our calls. And so we just need to, you know, really keep that in mind as we flesh out this document. I don't know. Lisa's got her hand up, so Lisa, you may
okay,
feel the enlightenment.
I am back on now, so okay.
Okay.
Thanks.
Lisa, go ahead. Yeah.
Wait, this is Lisa. So, Alan, actually, I have had some of the same questions that you did when attempting to take our original or previous version of the scope document and convert agreements on items that were in scope into objectives. For example, under RDAP and IDN, both of those, I questioned what in addition would be done beyond assessing the progress made against the first review team's recommendations. You asked about, you know, how would this team determine what the legitimate needs of law enforcement might be, which I agree could be quite the challenge. I'll note that we had a conversation a couple of plenary calls ago, I think. It might have been a leadership call, where there was some discussion of maybe doing some targeted polling of that community to find out what they felt their needs were, and then assessing the ability of the today's Who Is system to meet that need.
Commenting on
whether that's legitimate, right?
I thought we were going to do the polling on whether their needs are being satisfied, not what the needs were, but I may be misremembering.
Well, and that could be another approach, too. I'm wondering, though, so the reason that we pulled this table together was just to help us advance the ball forward. I'm wondering if it would be helpful to you for staff to try to merge in what you came up with for scope into a format like this table, or whether you would find it more useful to progress on the list of agreements and issues that you had in your scope document. In other words, does this format actually help us, or would you like to just focus on on what you put forward?
Given that when I wrote this, I hadn't seen your new version, I would think confusing people with two different documents that they have to sort of hold up to, which happened to be in a different order, and which they will then have to see how they correlate, is not useful. If you can incorporate the issues that I've raised, assuming you don't have answers to them, either in you know, indented bullets underneath your document or in yet another column, probably another column is problematic. It's probably better to go to multiples, to another extra page or so and do it vertically. I think that would be useful.
Yeah, I think that to respond to that directly, I think the issues that you raised, you know, under your to be determined actually fit what I was aiming at in the open areas needing discussion, which is the third column of the table that I drew.
Yeah, as I said, I can't say I planned it that way, but almost every case where you said to be determined, I was asking questions about how do we get there.
exactly. So I think there's probably a straightforward merge of these two that staff could attempt if that's what you'd like. If you'd like to just forge ahead with your document and set aside what staff prepared, that's fine too.
Yeah.
Just give us some direction.
I think we need to be sensitive of people's sensitivities. Sorry, that's probably redundant. You know, so IDN was suggested by Dimitri. Just discarding it right out, I don't think is going to be easy, because, you know, that was his contribution at this point. On the other hand, I think it's already covered, and I'm not sure we want a separate item that effectively is redundant. So how we move from here to there, I'm not 100% sure. But okay, so if you can pull that together and send it out, if you want me to take a look at it, I will. If you just want to pull it together, period, and send it out, go right ahead. And if because of the wording on these documents you want to attribute the questions and issues to me, I have no problem with that. Probably doesn't sound like staff. Anything else? Then the next item, I think, is AOB, and I had asked at staff at some point, and I don't know whether it's done yet or not, put together a world time zone map of where people are and to see whether we can find a time that's more amenable to all people, or decide on two times so we rotate and split the pain rather than the single time that we have right now, which is particularly bad for a few people.
Yes, Alan, thank you for raising that, and this is something that we are looking into, and we'll make sure to share something with you prior to the face-to-face meeting.
Yeah, I know that, where is Lily located?
Singapore, I believe.
Okay, that's not great. I know on the ALAC, where we literally have people from around the world, and at the time we had no one in China, which we do right now, there was a good 8-hour opening in the world time zones that we could avoid, and that allowed us to have some times that were slightly better for everybody. Singapore may throw a wrench in that one, I'm not sure. But if we can put together the time zone distribution, then I think we can probably recommend one or two times that are a little bit more comfortable, at least for half the meetings for everyone.
Yes, and then we'll look into that.
Okay, thank you. I'll glad to work with you on that if you'd like. Sadly, I've done a fair amount of it for other groups. Any other business for anyone? Then if we can go into the last agenda item, please.
Really quickly, Alan, I just wanted to just to remind you to encourage Ruby team members to submit questions on implementation briefings in advance. And the other thing that I wanted to just to double check with you is we asked last week whether you could validate the list of questions on implementation briefings for recommendation 5, 8, and 10, and we did not hear anything, I'm afraid.
I did last night. I missed your deadline, but I did send a message out. My only comment was the on recommendation 8, the first one, it's asked a question that I don't remember anyone asking, and I think is the wrong question. It said, when will the 2009 RAA be deprecated? Deprecated, as I know the word, means lessened importance but still available. And the question I was really asking was, at what point do we have a date where everyone will be on the 2013? And my recollection is that there was a clause somewhere in the, and I don't know where it was, that said once 60% or so of people are on the 2013 one, everyone would have to go on to it. I think there was a clause that was written at one point. But Lisa said deprecated that is. I'm sorry. Ah, okay. Yeah, so I think there is a clause in the current RIA that says once a certain percentage of registrars are on it, it is the only one available for renewals. And I don't know if we're at that stage yet or when, or if we know when we'll be at that stage. Lisa, go ahead, please.
I was just going to mention, this is Lisa for the transcript, that when recording the questions that were raised during the last plenary call, I think it was me that came up with the word deprecated as I, to try to consolidate the conversation into a one-liner. But I agree with you. That probably was an incorrect word. What you want to know is when it is no longer possible to comply with that version of the RIA.
Yeah, and the second question on 8 effectively covered that. So I wasn't worried that I missed the deadline because it didn't really matter. But I'm not sure we need to answer the first question anymore. In any case, that was the only one I had any comments on, so even if you don't find my email, that's what I said.
Thank you, Alan.
Okay. But I'm pretty sure I did send it last night. Anything else we need to cover today?
Last item on the agenda is just to confirm the decisions and the action items from today's call.
Please go ahead.
So on the decisions reached, so we would have leaders and Eikenauer to have preparatory meetings at 8 a.m. on both days of the face-to-face meeting. Co-chairs to give green light to gave green light to share the Brussels face-to-face meeting agenda with the review team in preparation of Thursday's plenary call. On action items, so Suzanne will review the terms of reference reporting section, and you, Alan, will scan through the terms of reference and see how you can contribute. ICANN.org will send a reminder to the review team on scheduling of ICANN 16 formal meeting and flag it during plenary call. On the plenary meeting agenda and under the face-to-face meeting agenda, we will add a slide on expectations. On scope, so ICANN will incorporate issues raised in your document into the scope document that was prepared by ICANN for review team approval. And we'll circulate this document, including Susan's feedback as well, to you, the leadership, for approval before relaying into the review team. And also we'll be preparing the time zone document for upcoming plenary calls.
Thank you very much. I do have one other question for Lisa. It doesn't have to be part of the formal meeting. In looking at the OECD section and their reference to transborder data flow, and it actually came up on the RDS PDP in a comment I wrote, transborder data flow was not in this charter for the PDP. I don't know whether that was a conscious effort or conscious decision or not, or whether it is deemed to be part of implementation and therefore not relevant for the PDP. Do you have any recollection of whether there were ever any discussions on it? It's certainly relevant. And I mean, we are going to be obliged to have an RDS that complies with laws, and there are data flow laws.
Correct. I don't think that was an intentional exclusion. As a matter of fact, the OECD document that is in the bylaws is also one of the background documents for the PDP.
Right.
I suspect this was one of those cases where the charter for the PDP was being hammered out in parallel with the bylaws, the new bylaws. There just wasn't an explicit
And if you're not from China, or if you're not from China or Russia, it's not foremost on your mind either.
Well, and to your point, some of the documents that relate to transborder data flows, from particular territories like the EU are part also of the background documents that we identified in the PDP as being relevant inputs. So I think it is implicitly but not explicitly part of what the PDP should be addressing.
I mean, depending on what we end up doing there, it may well be implementation. But at the very least, we would need a caveat saying don't forget it during implementation. Anyway, I did throw it out on a mailing list last night, so maybe someone will pick it up and run or not. All right. Thank you very much for the call. I think we are in as good a shape as we can expect to be for Thursday. And following that, getting on planes. In terms of Jean-Baptiste's comment on getting questions on the for the subject matter experts, at this point, I'm not going to hold my breath. I think questions will come up while they're doing it. I'm a little bit worried that people aren't doing their homework and preparing for these presentations, and that makes me worry a little bit about people taking up the challenge when we actually have to do our own work. But I guess we'll play that one through and see where it goes. Any further comments from anyone? Hearing nothing, seeing nothing, thank you all, and I'll let you get back to your lives. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Ellen. Have a nice day. Bye, Susan.